Well, good morning. It is great to be with you this morning. It's always nice to be home. Thankful for the opportunity to be gone last week. As we said Wednesday, thank you for the cards and the calls and text messages and the prayers and the passing of my grandmother. It was good to get to see everybody and good to be around family. But it is always nice to be home. This morning I would invite you to open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. That's where we're going to begin this morning. Joshua chapter 3. We do have a couple birthdays this week that we get to remember. Today is Jerry Glenn's birthday, and so make sure that you wish Jerry a happy birthday. On Wednesday, 70. Is it 70? Randy's turning. Did you say 48? I love you. It's outstanding. Sorry. His wife and I have a running joke, and it's a little more fun that way. Make sure that you wish Randy Worthington a happy birthday for Wednesday, please. Joshua chapter 3. I want you to pay attention here. You think about the background. Moses has died. God speaks to Joshua. Look at this in chapter 1 in just a moment. But I want you to think about here in Joshua chapter 3, the children of Israel are getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And this morning we think about something that here is said in specifically as we get into verse number 4. But beginning in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 3, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." You know, you think about here, and you can go back to chapter 1 for just a moment. Think about these words that God has spoken to Joshua, beginning there in verse 1 of Joshua 1. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, from as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I also will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." So God has made the promise, right? God has said, this is what I have sworn, that I am going to give this land to the children of Israel. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be discouraged. Be strong and of good courage, because what I've promised, I'm going to fulfill. I'm going to take care of. You think of these words that God has said to Joshua here specifically. He says, this is the land of inheritance that I am going to be giving to you. This is what I have promised, and I'm going to fulfill that promise. You think about chapter 2 with sending in the spies to spy out the land and Rahab the harlot. Look at the end of chapter 2 of Joshua. You think about the fact that she has told those spies, we know you. We know your God. We know what happened in Egypt. We know what happened to Sihon and Og on the other side of the river, those great kings, that they were utterly destroyed and taken out. In verse 23, so the two men returned, descended from the mountain and crossed over, came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all that had befallen them. They said to Joshua, "Truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." 3 days later, they're going to be crossing over. Notice, the commanders that go throughout the people, they tell them, you get up, you get ready, look for the Ark of the Covenant, the priests, the Levites, to be moving. That's your signal to get going. Stay 2,000 cubits behind it. It's about a half mile. A half mile that you're going to stay behind the Ark of the Covenant. Don't come near it. You have not passed this way before, so don't go getting ahead of God. Don't go getting ahead of what is going to be taking place. You've not crossed this way before. You need to stay in line. You need to remember that God is going to be the one that is leading you over. God is going to be the one who is going to be securing His promise. Your responsibility comes in verse number 5. Sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord is going to do great wonders in your presence. Sanctify yourselves. Cleanse yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Make sure that you are ready and able to move with the Lord. That you're in right standing. Brad this morning in Bible class started 1 John. You look at those first four verses of 1 John and you think about John describing Jesus. With that which was from the beginning, which we have seen and beheld, which we have handled and held, who we've known. That's the one who is manifested, made known to us. You know, the incredible part is you look at verse number 5 here and you think about the fact that what God is saying, or what the commanders and Joshua have told the people, sanctify yourselves because God's about to do some great wonders in your presence. You're going to be able to see this with your own eyes. You know, the incredible part was He'd already done it among those who had passed away and perished in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. He had already shown them the plagues upon the Egyptians. And you know, you think about the land of Goshen and the children of Israel not having to deal with those plagues because they were set apart, sanctified. Here the same thing is taking place. Sanctify yourselves. The Lord is going to do great wonders in your presence. You know, we often talk about God being near at hand. If you go with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Paul in the Areopagus on Mars Hill. Here speaking to the Greeks, those Gnostics, the all-knowing. They want knowledge after knowledge and more knowledge all the time, right? This is what they want and they desire. Paul has began to tell them that truly you are a religious people, a worshipful people. I've seen all of these idols that are in your presence, right? All of these things that you have. And here's one statue to the unknown God. I'm going to tell you about Him. Here's the incredible part about this God. Here in Acts chapter 17, notice down in verse 27. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him. Notice, though He is not far from each one of us. God is able to be found. God is able to be seen. When we think about how incredible it would be to be the children of Israel crossing over into the promised land, crossing over and setting their feet as the Ark of the Covenant goes across, it's going to be on dry ground. God will hold the waters back, that the children of Israel are able to cross on dry ground across the Jordan River, the same as they did across the Red Sea coming out of the land of Egypt. These signs and these wonders as they cross over into the land of Canaan to take over the promised land. The first place that they come to is where the two spies had gone in Jericho. You think about Rahab the harlot and the fact that she has told them, "We know of you, and when we heard you were here, our hearts melted within us." The same thing those two spies got to see at the end of chapter 2. As we read in verses 23 and 24, they tell Joshua, "This land is ours. This is our land. Those people are faint-hearted because of us. We don't have to hold back. They march around that city 7 times, blow their trumpets and yell, and the walls come tumbling down. You see the wonders of God and how incredible it is to follow the God that we get to serve today, knowing that He's not far from us. I don't have to stand a half mile back from Him. I can speak to Him anytime. We have had songs of praise to His name. We have said prayers. We've gotten to get into His Word today already, and as we continue to get to do, God is not far from us, and what He desires for each of us is the absolute best. You think about God and the children of Israel crossing over to the land of promise, into Canaan land, and you think about the one going before them, that God is the one who's going to be clearing everything out. God is the one who's going to be preparing that land, and He's going to give them instruction. We don't get into all of it this morning in our lesson, but one of the requirements that He has is not only sanctify yourselves, but when you come into the land, you drive out all the inhabitants so that there's nothing that's going to cause you to stumble, nothing that will trip you up. You need to get all of it out of there. Look at John 14. Brad alluded to this in his Bible class this morning, but I want you to pay attention to what Jesus has gone on and what He has promised to those who follow Him. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, Jesus, this is the night He'll be betrayed, speaking to His disciples, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where You are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." I'm going to prepare a place. Let's think about this place. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. Here we have just a small description of what it would be like. But you think about the land of Canaan, and you think about following through and taking out all the adversaries and driving them out. Were they successful? No, they sure weren't. What happened? Well, it caused them to stumble. We can read the book of Judges and see over and over again where they're with God. They begin to trust in themselves, follow foreign gods. They're taken into captivity. They cry out. They get sent a judge, a deliverer, to bring them back out. And for a little while, they're good with God until they start to get a big head again. And you just watch as that pattern happens over and over again. It's not going to be that way in heaven. Here in Revelation 21, beginning in verse 22, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." That's what heaven will be like. It's a place that God has prepared for those who follow after Him. And we can look, think about the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and 25, and you think about Jesus speaking of a place that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not made for you and I. This right here, what Jesus speaks about in John 14, what John writes about here in Revelation 21. You think about these words that are spoken. Jesus said, "I go to prepare that place for you, My disciples, My followers." Not for anybody else. Notice, you see this beautiful picture of the fact that God and Jesus are dwelling with the people, that we dwell with them. We get to be and see them face to face. You notice that contrast there in verse 27. "There may be no need of sun, moon, or stars, because the Lamb is its light." But notice that there are things not going to enter in. There are things like anything that is detestable, that defiles, causes an abomination, not even a lie. There's not going to be any little white lies to bring people comfort so that we don't hurt feelings. None of those things are going to exist there. Notice, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's all that is going to be there with God. That's all that will be allowed in. We've got to make sure, though, just as the children of Israel were to cleanse and sanctify themselves to enter into the promised land, we have to be the same today to enter into God's prepared place, to heaven. To have our name written, as we've sung the song already today, we think about our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To have as our destination for all eternity a place called heaven. Paul would write about this. If you look at Philippians chapter 3, you think about Paul in what is, for his epistles, the most joyous epistle that we see in all of the New Testament. The book of Philippians, you see joy and rejoice over and over and over again. And we think about Paul pressing toward that goal. Beginning in verse number 17, Paul writes, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We wait for Him to come back so that we can go on to dwell with Him. Paul would write to the church at Thessalonica, that beautiful picture, that Jesus will descend the voice of an archangel, that those who are His, those who have first passed on, will rise into the air to meet Him, and those who are alive will be caught up with them. And we will meet our Savior in the air, and we will go back to live with Him. Jesus isn't going to set foot back on this earth again. We have a citizenship in heaven. And we think about that prepared place. You think about these promises of God. Look at Joshua chapter 21. And you think about these words as the children of Israel are going to enter in to that land of promise, that they are to conquer it. And we think about even perhaps today of those who talk about the fact that those in Israel are God's chosen people, that that's the promised land and all of those things. Scripture tells a different story. While they may at one time have been and still can be, if they choose to follow after Christ and will submit their lives to Him, for those that say that there has to be peace there in order for Jesus to return there to set up His kingdom, Joshua chapter 21 tells a different story. Beginning in verse 43, "So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which He had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that He had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel." Notice, all came to pass. God had promised that would be their land. Guess what? It was. He fulfilled it. It's His promise. That same promise we have today. That same promise from the one who had promised Israel the land would be theirs. Not a word failed. All came to pass. Verse 45. God had told them, "This is the land I have sworn, promised to give to your fathers." And it absolutely happened. He already gave it to them. But we have that same promise today. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10. A lot of times we turn to Hebrews 10 and we think, we've got to go to be faithful, right? And assemble. And I don't disagree. But notice verse 23. Of Hebrews chapter 10. We are to sanctify ourselves. We are to be right with God. We'll begin in verse number 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the name of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. God will not break his promise. We are to hold fast our confession. You see, that's our part. We are to be set apart in service to God. That our part is to make sure that we don't stop living for him. You think about Revelation 2, that last sentence of verse 10. Be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. The same thing is said here in verse 23. Hold fast your confession. Hold fast. Don't let it go. Don't cast it away. If you go down to verse 35 there of Hebrews chapter 10, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What's that promise? Eternal life in heaven. But we have a part that we have to play. We have a role. We have a responsibility not to cast away our confidence. We hold fast that confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. God doesn't waver on his word. He's not going to go back on anything. You know, you think about the fact that Acts chapter 4, Peter speaking there in verse 11, in his audience, he's talking to Jews and he talks about the fact that he is the chief cornerstone which you builders rejected. God used him. Everything is built upon that sacrifice that we even remembered this morning, that death, burial, and his resurrection, rising to life so that he could give life to you and I. We have that high priest that we read about there in verse 21, that he is over the house of God. When we think about the responsibility that we have, we hold fast. You think about the fact that in Joshua 3, here in verse 4, he finishes out that verse, for you have not passed this way before. We remember those who've been in Hebrews chapter 11 called faithful. That they lived their life dedicated to God. And the fact that they're in places like Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16, they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. He's prepared a city, a place of dwelling. He's not ashamed to be called the God of those who are faithful and live for him. There's the responsibility we have. Be faithful and live for him so that we can live with him for all eternity in that place that he has prepared, a dwelling place. My question for you, we think about not having passed this way before. We are on this side of eternity. And our life, these mortal tents, as Paul calls them, is one day going to end, no longer exist. But we have a part of us, a soul, a spirit, that is given to us by God, that image of him that we see that he created us in Genesis 1 and verse 26. It's going to go on and live with him. It's going to go on for eternity. It's going to dwell in one of two places. Either we get to live in heaven with him, or we are going to be in that place that Jesus said was prepared for the devil and his angels, his followers. One of those two places is where we're going to dwell for all eternity. It won't be in this body. We can be transformed into a glorious body. Go back to Philippians chapter 3, and you can read 21 and following. But you think about what we get to see. God the Father, God the Son, and the Spirit, face to face as they are. No need for sun, moon, and stars. They are the light. This morning, I would ask you to think about you for just a moment. If your life was to end this afternoon, today, in the near future, where are you going to spend eternity? You see, just like the promise that God made to the children of Israel, he has made a promise to those who are faithful to him. A place that they get to dwell, carefree, Nothing there that we have to watch out for that would be a stumbling block. Nothing that would cause us to trip and stumble and fall. But instead, a place where we get to live with the Father and the Son for all eternity. If that's not what you would call your eternal destination, then won't you do something to make that right? Perhaps this morning you're not a child of God. You have a responsibility. You have to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, to have faith in Him. And that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. It causes that faith to grow even stronger. John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, you'll perish, meaning you won't make it to heaven. You have to believe in him as the Son of God. Be willing to have that godly sorrow we see in 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11, that leads to salvation. A godly sorrow that causes a change in your attitude, your mind, your way of thinking, and in your life, where we repent of that sin in our life. Change. Not practicing those things any longer. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, God commands it that we follow after him, that we repent. The times of ignorance are over. We don't get to claim ignorance on the last day. God commands all men everywhere to repent. We are willing to confess his name. Matthew 10 and verse 32, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. We confess his name not only by mouth, Romans 10 and verse 9, but also in the way that we live, demonstrating every single day that we are a follower of Christ to those around us, making those choices that God would have us to make. Be willing to submit to his will and his authority, or we submit to being baptized into Christ. It's where we change location. Our sins are washed away, that old man of sin left behind. We rise to walk in newness of life, faithful unto death. Not throwing away that confession, not wavering, instead standing strong to the very end so that we can hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you have to do to become a child of God. Perhaps this morning you become a child of God, but you've gone back to the ways of the world and there are things in your life that you need to get right. This morning, if we could help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now. As together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.